We're right at the top of the hour now, guys. And want to just let you know that, give you a super quick background on me, and then we'll dive into what we're talking about today. So my background, my name is Victor Vaca, Coach Victor, and been working with Debbie and now Ben here for about, well, Debbie for about 4 years, and then, you know, Ben with a new partnership, which is awesome, and we love that, but a couple of months here. So together, what we do is really, you know, here to help you guys. So here's the idea. My background is as an agent. Did very well as an agent, won several awards, and that was all cool and great and fun. And ended up, just kind of fast forward it, ended up going and building a few national companies, one of which was LendingTree, which many of you, and probably me, if not everyone, has heard of. And I built a brand called realestate.com, and we took that from a zero agent, zero market plan to about 5,000 agents in 28 markets, I think it was, altogether, because there were like some smaller markets. But long story short, we took that into about 23 transactions a year, or 23,000 transactions a year, all within 5 years. So I think, if I'm understanding it correctly from what people tell me, it's the fastest growing company in the history of real estate. So that was a pretty awesome opportunity, and we learned a lot during that time. It was very, very cool. And then I've taken another couple, you know, companies national in terms of, you know, like social media. One of the guys I partnered with was like a top 10 tech, best of the best, Sun Microsystems guy. He's almost like a Zuckerberger sort of guy, if you will. But super cool, super smart. And he was creating like a high-end urban luxury deal. And it was good, because it was really sort of, this is back in like 2010, that was, where he was trying to create a sticky site, if you will, even though real estate is very transactional. It was creating like an environment of a place, a community, where people could go and learn about, you know, high-end luxury urban properties, which pretty good for social media. And actually, there's some interesting tips I could share with you guys on maybe another call on that, in terms of how to generate more business if you are in a city. But when he, so with all that said, the idea was that builder of companies, coaching, consulting, that sort of thing, love it. And Debbie and I connected about 4 years ago. And what I do now is I help people like you, people that are team leaders or people that are on teams that are working within the team. I work with a lot of the individual agents and then group coaching with the team leaders, as well as the CEOs and broker owners of many of the different companies and different brands across the country. And I help them do what they want to do, help them achieve their goals. So that's 25 years of my background in, you know, sort of about 5 minutes. But what I really wanted to kind of launch that into is mindset. And guys, I'm just going to share this with you. This is probably the number one thing. As a matter of fact, I know it is. It's the number one thing, and I think everybody struggles. This is sort of a human condition. It's not really it's unique to a certain industry or to you as an individual. It's really across the board. And so one of the things is, well, you know, why can I, what can I accomplish? What am I capable of? Are other people better than me? Or am I somebody that can achieve what other people, you know, can achieve, and really sort of who am I in this mix, and how do I separate myself from the competition, and how do I really become more? So this idea of the mindset, overcoming limiting beliefs, and the psychology of winning, let's kind of walk through that, and I'm going to try to parse a few things out here. So why do salespeople fail to achieve their goals? It's a great question. There's a lot going on here in terms of why we do or why we don't do some things. So let's break it down. Limiting beliefs is the answer. Here's what's going on, guys. And this is, again, for everyone. So these limiting beliefs that we have, the question is, where do they come from? most of the time, limiting beliefs have come from our entire background, like what basically effectively our entire lives, what happened to us as children, or just our experiences as kids coming up in relationships, in business, in family, where you were born, who you are, etc. And what happens is, and I'll talk about the process of how this happens, but we make determinations, we make decisions based on who we believe we are, our perspective, or our life view, based on this unconscious programming that's really going on, because most of what we believe, we did not intentionally program. It was unintentionally programmed. So you'll find out what I mean in a minute here. But a lot of this is something that sort of happened without you even being aware of it. So the big key here is to understand where did they come from, for sure. But then also, what do we do about that? And how can we raise our level of awareness? That's the key, because our current results are not a reflection of our ability or our potential. Our current results are simply a reflection of our current level of our awareness. So let's talk about how this happens. So we've got the five senses, right? How do we experience the world? And you guys all know what the five senses are, right? So through that touch, taste, smell, you know, hear, all that, that comes in. So think about that like if you're going to create a diagram here, you know, think about like five arrows, you know, from the five senses going into this little sliver at the top of it called the conscious mind. And then we'll talk about each piece of this, but then conscious mind is where we make decisions, moves into subconscious, which is what controls everything. Then that moves into an action, which we'll talk about, which moves into a behavior and a result. So the conscious mind is where about 10% is discerning. This is 10% of our mind, about 10% of our conscious mind is or our brain is what we use. So this is where we have the ability to make decisions. So how do we discern? This is where critical thinking comes in. This is where data analysis comes in. This is where we decide what we like. This is where we decide what we don't like. This is where we decide if it's painful or pleasurable. So let me pause here for just a second. So the 2-million-year-old reptilian brain that we have is designed to protect us. And it does a very good job at that. It's what keeps you from getting eaten 2 million years ago, keeps you from getting eaten by T-Rex. It's that same brain that stops you from stepping out in front of a bus today on a street corner. So the idea is that the brain's doing what it's supposed to. It's doing what it's designed to do, for sure. But the challenge is the very brain that's there to protect us is also the very brain that prevents us from living and achieving and getting what we really want out of life. Kind of a paradox, right? So it's protecting us, but sometimes it's protecting us too much, and often it's protecting us too much, which prevents us from getting to what we really want out of life. And but this is where we make the decisions of why we're going to do what we want to do. The subconscious mind, so here's how that happens. So through two different places. One is called spaced repetition. And spaced repetition means the same thing happens or something similar happens over and over and over again. So I'll give you an example in business prospecting. So if you make the calls, and then you have people hang up on you, or people say, how did you get my number, or tell me I'm on the do-not-call list, or whatever it might be, or you knock doors, or you get rejected at open houses, whatever it could be, what's happening is that even though you're experiencing that consciously, your brain is starting to determine, you know, consciously if you like this or don't like this. And this is where this, a lot of times these get programmed and we're not even aware of it. So we might make these calls, for example, and this is just one of many hundreds or even more than that, thousands of examples, but keeping it straight to prospecting, this is where we have somebody that says, or an event that happens, that we say, you know what, we don't like that. So then what happens is we decide to set goals. And our goals might be in conflict. Like, I want to do 50 deals a year. The problem is, if we have an aversion to doing the things that are going to help us get there, you can see how that sabotages us. So we're going to talk about how to overcome that. But the subconscious mind is what's driving the bus. When I say that, anybody on this call, I know we don't have the interactive part, but anybody on this call ever driven past an exit, like on the expressway? And the answer is, of course, we all have, right? Some people might drive past one exit. Some people I've talked to might drive 40 minutes past an exit and be like, oh my God, how did I miss those exits? And they might be on the phone. They're engaged consciously in something else. Well, the question is, who was driving the car? And the answer is, your subconscious mind has been trained and programmed to drive that car. So it's kind of doing it almost like an automatic pilot. Well, think about that for your real estate business, for your life, not just in real estate, but in all areas of your life. Your subconscious mind is what's driving the bus in terms of what you're doing or what you're not doing, in terms of moving toward pain. Moving toward pleasure or avoiding pain. And our brain's just doing its job. So what we're trying to do here is to understand why that is and then how to overcome that. So all the beliefs are held in your subconscious minds. These are the programs that you're running every single day. This is what you dream about at night. And we have a big, formidable foe that we have to overcome here. So we go from, as I showed you, we go from the five senses to the conscious mind, where either through trauma or spaced repetition, we get down into the subconscious mind, where the beliefs are formed. And then based on where those beliefs are of this is good or this is bad, or I like this or I don't like that, what your subconscious mind does is it has no way to discern if this belief is going to serve you or if it's going to harm you, if it's going to help you achieve a goal or not achieve a goal. That has no way to understand if this is going to be a good thing for you or a bad thing for you. All it does is take instruction. That's what the subconscious mind does. All of the thinking and the critical thinking happens in that small, weak, intellectual conscious mind. But when it gets pounded down through spaced repetition or trauma into the subconscious mind says, okay, this is what Victor likes. This is what John likes. This is what Susan likes and or doesn't like. We're going to avoid this and we're going to do that. So with that happening, without maybe even your knowledge, and I'll break that down in an example here in a second, but maybe even without your knowledge, what's happening there is that your brain is sort of on automatic pilot. And then sometimes we wonder why we can't do what we're supposed to do. We were supposed to go make 25 calls today or 125 calls, whatever it might be. We were supposed to follow up on all of the leads that we have. But if we have unconsciously programmed our minds to think of those things as painful, you then sit there and you wonder why you're not moving in that direction. So what I'm trying to share here is that there's a reason why you're struggling with what you might be struggling with. And this is all areas of life. But for the sake of keeping it straight to real estate, what the only thing the subconscious mind can do is rearrange the furniture to effectively accommodate the new belief. So Victor wants to, Susie wants to, Jonathan wants to, this is what they want to do, this is what they've commanded, boom. Subconscious mind goes, rearrange everything, this is what they want to do, and so it accommodates. Again, with no ability to understand whether this is good or bad. Second thing is the only way that the subconscious mind can effectively communicate what the thoughts and the thinking are is to create a vibrational frequency, which is called an emotion. And that expresses the wantings or the desires of the subconscious mind of what maybe has been unconsciously programmed. That emotion then turns into an action or an inaction, meaning that, hey, I'm going to take action to do this, or I'm going to take an inaction, which is to avoid it. So in the example of kind of keeping it consistent with prospecting, taking the action of, I'm going to make my calls today. I'm going to tough it out. But then something may happen where you get a little distracted and then you determine, hey, you know what? It's too late in the day. I'm just not going to do this anyway. And again, you guys can raise your hand if this afflicts you like it afflicts so many others. And when I say that, I mean the clients I have, I don't know what their lowest sales volume is, but it's high. I mean, most of the people I work with make, I don't know, you know, they're probably at least 20 million GCI up to maybe 125 million GCI. So they're definitely performers. And guess what? They share the same affliction. So I don't want anybody, and maybe some of you on this call have that's those sales volumes as well. I just want to let you know that if you feel like this is making sense to you, you are in very, very good company with some very big top performers. It's just part of how we program ourselves without knowing it. So we either take an action towards something, and a lot of times that takes a lot of effort, especially if we have limiting beliefs around it, or we take an inaction and say, you know, we're going to avoid it. And then we're trying to hold ourselves accountable or asking someone else to hold us accountable to say, hey, you know, what were your numbers for the week, or what did you do for the month, or how did the quarter look? And then you look back at it and you're like, wow, I didn't accomplish what I hoped to in this. That's what's going on, guys. It's not that you're bad people or you're incapable. It's just that you have a bad program running in your brain all the time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And so we'll talk about how to break that. But then we move into a behavior. So now this emotion creates an action or an inaction that creates a consistent pattern of behavior. And then this behavior that we consistently show ends up with result. That's going to give you your results in life. So here's what's interesting, and in business, but here's what's interesting. If you start at the top where we said, and we'll go, you know, we went through that process, but if you start there and you really start looking at how is this that we make these changes in our lives, we see that we're maybe not getting what we really want to out of this. How do we overcome it? And it's more than just setting goals. We got to reprogram our brain. So how do we make lasting changes in our lives to achieve our goals? So here's the thing. If you guys remember, and actually I'm going to jump up forward one slide here because I want to show this to you again in order. So, and here's the question. You know, we have to start with our thinking and reprogram our minds. Now that sounds simple enough, but let's take a look at what most people do and most companies do for that matter. So we look at the five senses of how we experience the world. Conscious mind, through space, repetition, or trauma, we make a decision. We pound that down to the subconscious mind. That becomes a belief. That belief creates an emotion, which creates an action, which creates a behavior, which creates a result. So you guys are starting to see the pattern here of like how we operate. And if you want to pause and just kind of think through your own life and through your own business, you'll probably start seeing how this cascades and waterfalls. Well, what's interesting here is let's go to something as simple as, let's say, like losing weight. So you want to lose 5 pounds or 10 pounds during the holidays for whatever reason. We're going to have a great, you know, cocktail party, or we're going to see some loved ones we haven't seen in a while, whatever it might be. That's just this time of year. Maybe in during the summer, we're talking about getting into a bathing suit that, you know, we haven't had to get into for a few months. So whatever it might be, let's just keep it simple though. So when you start saying, okay, well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to lose weight. So what I'm going to do is, and I have fun with, you know, a lot of my clients. So it means, you know, less wine at night, less margaritas at night, or I'm going to stop eating nachos. You know, I won't have nachos or a snack, whatever that snack might be, at 10 o'clock at night, because I'm not supposed to eat after 7. So you start making all these rules, which are basically goal setting, right? And we goal set to say, we're going to cut off the food eating at 7 o'clock. No more snacks after that. We're going to limit ourselves and moderate just every part of area of our life. We're also going to start going to bed earlier, which is another goal. So let's say we say we're going to be in bed by 10, which is hard for most of us as real estate people, for sure, for most real estate agents, because we're sometimes still negotiating deals at 10 o'clock at night. But the idea is, let's say we're going to go to bed 10 and we're going to go to bed 11. Then what we're going to do is we're going to make certain that we get up in the morning and we're going to go work out, whether that's a half an hour on the treadmill, or it's going to be a walk, or it's going to be a bike ride, or you're going to surf, or you're going to do whatever you're going to do. You make that, and I'm going to do that 5 days a week. So we set all these goals, and the goals are good goals, right? They're in real great alignment. But when I ask the question, how long does that last in terms of going to bed early, getting up early, stopping eating at a certain time, or maybe making better food choices, whatever those goals are, and then working out at a certain time and making certain we do that for half an hour or 45 minutes a day, 5 days a week. When I ask that question to most people, it lasts somewhere between 30 minutes and 30 days. It's just sort of the way it goes, right, guys? Like, we look at it and we say, okay, this is what we're going to do. And then, hey, January 1st, we're going to change the way we do business. January 2nd, you know, we're writing our goals out over the holidays and we're doing a 2020 business plan. And this is awesome. And this is going to be the best year we've ever, ever had. Perfect. I love it. But what happens is, if we go all the way down here, and we're starting with what that is, guys, what is that? We're starting with behavior. We're trying to change our behavior. Well, look at how far down river behavior is before results. It's right before results. So that means it's super, super, super weak. All the thinking and everything at the top has already cascaded down. Now we're trying to fight ourselves in behavior and it doesn't work. It just doesn't. I mean, you can tough it out for a while, but generally speaking, it doesn't last very long, 30 days. I mean, you might be able to make it 60 or 90, but generally speaking, it's not going to be a lasting change. So here's the idea. If you see how far downstream that is, and I'll even just tell you with companies that I consult with as well, it'll be like, well, hey, you know, we want to get a conversion rate from our group from X to X times 2 or 3 or whatever. So what we're going to do, and then all of their solutions are focused on the behavior. So we're going to change this behavior. Here's how we're going to do it. And then we're going to get different results. And again, that lasts for about 30 days, 60 days, 90 days. And then they realize that it's not going to be an effective strategy. Well, the problem is we have to go back to the top and start with the thinking, the five senses. And we have to realize that it's the thinking that got us to the results, because it starts with the genesis of it all, sort of the omega, you know, the alpha. It gets us from the thinking part all the way down to the results. So in order to change your results, you have to change your thinking. So how do we do that? Science shows us that we have about 400 negative thoughts per day. And in those 400,000 negative thoughts per day, what's happening is you're listening to programs of what you didn't measure up to. You're not good enough. That's a big one. You're not smart enough. You don't have enough education. You don't know how to differentiate yourself. It can get some pretty deep stuff, guys, like, you know, you're not even worthy of love. You're not worthy of success. We are also saying you're never going to be able to make that. Well, what happens if you try it and, like, let's say your family and your friends know about this and you try it, but then you fail? And here's the thing, guys. The number one thing that's separating you from where you are to what you really want out of life is the story that you tell yourselves. It's just the way it is. So I'll share this idea with you. So you guys all understand the term rationalize. And I think it's a pretty interesting term. When we rationalize why we didn't do something or why weren't able to achieve something that we were looking to achieve. And the answer is, I want to break this word down into two parts. Rational would be the first word, and then lies is the second word. Because these are the lies. It's part of the 400,000 negative thoughts we have per day. But these are the lies that we tell ourselves consistently over and over and over again. Well, if this is going on while you're sleeping, this is going on while you're awake, this is going on throughout the entire day, and you have a fear of failure, it's all based in fear and lack. All of it. Every single one of these negative thoughts are, you're not good enough, you don't deserve it, you're not smart enough, somebody else is better than you, you don't have that education, you don't know how to market, you don't know how to differentiate yourself, everyone else, or many other people, how are you going to compete with this other top producer that seems to have everything that you don't? You don't have enough money to invest. You don't have the right marketing program. You don't have the right systems. You don't have the right plan. It goes on and on and on, and we're beating ourselves up all day long. And all it's doing is it comes down to one thing, the lack and the scarcity that we have. So again, what you focus on expands, and what you focus on, you attract. So here's the thing, guys. If you're thinking 400,000 negative thoughts per day in terms of you don't deserve it for whatever reason, I'm afraid to fail. I'm afraid to be rejected. I'm afraid. Right? It goes on and on and I'll give you another tip for you guys. There are two other tips I want to share with you. So one is, here's a word, and I wish I could hear you guys back and forth, but here's a word, the word stress. The word stress is a code word for achievers. And the code word for achievers that stress, what it actually means is fear. Think about it. When you say you're stressed, and we all say that, oh my God, how many times if you just think about it, you're talking to a loved one, a family member, even a business associate, somebody that works in your office, a boss, a peer, whatever. Oh man, I'm just so stressed. I've got so many deals going on. I'm just stressed. What are you stressed about? And the answer is you're afraid something's going to go wrong. You're afraid you're not going to get the listing. You're afraid your closing is not going to is going to blow up over an inspection. You're afraid. And it goes on and on and on. So whenever you catch this, because this is like part of your awareness level increasing, when you say you're stressed, what that really means is you're afraid of something. And what is that? And that's a good, I think, first step to like identify what this is that's driving the stress and this fear and this anxiety. Right? Anxiety is another code word for that, right? But anxiety is just based in fear. You're afraid something that you want isn't going to happen. And then if it doesn't happen, how is that going to look? How is that going to make you feel? How is it going to make you look? Are you going to disappoint people around you? It goes on and on. What happens to your bank account? What happens to, and we start going crazy with negative thoughts. So that's a big thing that I want to share with you, that stress and anxiety are just code words for fear. So one of the big things is that I want to ask you is how do we do this? And I could give you so many stories about this, but the number one thing you can do, this seems simple as it probably looks on the screen right now that you guys are looking at, but it's really beginning the morning or ending the day with gratitude. And actually, if you can do both, that would be even better. Because doing it in the evening, even for just 5 minutes of just being grateful. Now, some people want to keep a gratitude journal. That's cool. Other people just want to say, hey, I'm thankful for. So when you think like I don't have enough, or even if I do have enough, I'm afraid of a team member leaving, or I'm afraid of losing a listing, or I'm afraid of whatever it might be. If you're focused on that all the time, you guys are operating, and not you personally, but I'm just saying people that, as we're thinking through this, you're operating out of a position of scarcity. Scarcity just means lack. You don't have enough. There's not enough there. So if there's not enough there, that's going to even increase your anxiety even more. So how do we shift from scarcity? Because here's the thing on scarcity. If we're thinking we don't have enough, if we're thinking we're not enough, or thinking we're not good enough, all those fears that I just talked about, what you focus on, you attract. And this is like a slippery slope, guys, because if you're thinking all of these negative thoughts all day long, then things are happening, and then you're consciously adding to it, like, I'm afraid of this, this, and this, or I'm anxious or, you know, stressed. What you're doing is you're attracting more of that into your life. And if you've ever noticed, when you're operating out of that modality, what happens often is that the people that you're interacting with respond to that. Somehow the listing appointments don't go quite as well. Somehow your first time that you're showing a property to somebody, that buyer, somehow or another, you didn't quite connect well enough with them. And you'll start seeing that there's a pattern of what you do and the way the energy. So think about it like this. Think about like a, it's an energy, but think about it like this. So the back to the days before XM and Sirius and all that, if you look at like a radio dial, the old time, everybody has XM now, I'm sure, Sirius in their cars, but just the old time radios, right? Remember that those were turning into a frequency. So you're either at 107.9 or 108 point something at the very high end of the dial, or you're like at 88 point. I don't remember exactly how low it goes, but you're somewhere on that frequency scale. Well, here's the thing, guys, and this is such a huge, it's so big, it's hard to express how important this is. But this is the simplicity of how you leverage and change your life. And that is that you tune into the right frequency. That frequency of abundance, or you tune into the frequency of scarcity. If you tune into that station that is scarce, anxious, afraid, afraid of failure, afraid of whatever it might be, stressed out, you are going to attract nothing more than that. Credit card bills pile up. You're going to miss more and more listing in terms of getting them. Your conversion rate will, you know, go down, and your entire business will suffer because you're focusing on the wrong thing. You may not be aware of it, but this call is designed to help you become more hyper and acutely aware of how your brain's actually controlling everything you do, even without you knowing it. And for you guys on this call, it's my sincerest hope that this is resonating with you, that you're like, yeah, that makes sense. A lot of this I might already know, but that nugget makes sense, or I get that part, or how does that impact my life? How is that impacting my business? What am I thinking about? What am I holding on to or not letting go of that's creating the negative draw down in terms of what I don't want? Well, it's about what you're focused on, attracted to, and what station you're tuned into on the frequency level. So if we want to turn the dial up, moving toward abundance, the very simplest way, people's like, well, gosh, I've got, you know, maybe I have some bills. And again, I'm not saying everybody on the call has got bills or credit card debt. I don't mean it that way. But I'm just saying, generally speaking, do we have enough? Is our bank account flush? Do we have investment properties that we want? Do we have the cash that we want to be able to make investments and have choices and have freedom and opportunity to go into a business venture together, to do buy and flips, right? And then get list backs and sell properties. And, you know, do we want to buy an apartment building? I don't know. That's up to you. But what I am saying is that if you are focused on scarcity, you're never going to have that opportunity. And so what I'm trying to do is help you, how do we change that frequency to get you onto the abundance frequency so that you do have those opportunities? Whatever that is, whether it's saving for college for your kids or having big fat investment accounts, buying a house, you know, like I've got one of my clients that bought a house inside the wall in Florence, Italy, which is a pretty cool thing. He's got a, his actual house is an apartment, but just kind of cool. And he spends about 4 months a year there, which is pretty awesome. But he's got that abundance. He's into that frequency and he understands that. So what you focus on, you attract. So we got to be really careful of what we're doing. Now, here's one of the biggest thing, guys, that I'll share with you. And if there's probably one thing that I could say about this or anybody, I don't, and again, a lot of this is, you know, some of this is my stuff, but most of this is what I live my life by. But it's things I've learned from great people that have preceded me. And one of the ways to achieve what you really want in life is to stand on the shoulders of giants. And that's what I've chosen to do. I'm not trying to reinvent the wheel here. But here's the thing, guys. This act as if is, it's so powerful. So let me talk about that for just a second. And we've got NLP. So as many of you probably know, NLP is neuro-linguistic programming. And it's the way we use our words to program our own minds as well as we're programming the people's minds that we're speaking to. So what's interesting about that, this act as if has been proven scientifically, that if you believe and act and behave in your brain, remember, this starts as thinking. This is where we go right back to the thinking part. We don't go right to the behavior. I mean, act is behavior. But if we're believing it to begin with, it's coming into our conscious mind, and then it cascades down and we get to our results. This act as if is probably one of the greatest gifts I could give you. And I truly mean this. This has changed many, many, many thousands of people's lives, maybe hundreds of thousands of people's lives that understand this concept. So here's the idea, guys. If you, when you're looking at your 2020 plans, whatever those are, and you are determining who you want to become next year, who you're going to be, how it's going to be different, whether you just want to expand your individual business, whether you want to just increase your, you know, listings taken to listings sold, or our listing conversion ratio, or whatever it might be. There's a certain amount of money we want to go from 50 transactions to 100, et cetera. Whatever that is, whatever your goals are. The big thing about acting as if is this, that if you can get your mind programmed every single day, so we start with gratitude. Right? So thank you for, what could gratitudes be? Thank you for, it goes on, right? Thank you for the fact that I woke up. Because if some people may be having a rough time, I'd go, well, it's easy if you got a lot of things going right for you that you could say, you know, you're happy about something. Well, no, you can start with whatever. I mean, the fact that you're breathing is an accomplishment, that you woke up north of the ground, right? So that's good. But what else could you use? Maybe you're grateful for a loved one. Maybe you're grateful for a friend. Maybe you're grateful for your business. Just thank you, God, that, you know, I've got a business and I'm a business owner and I'm running a business. This is great. We want to fill your quiver. We want to fill your mind and your spirit and your body and your heart with awesome, abundant intentions. You could be, you know, grateful for children. Perhaps if you have children, you could be grateful for your clients, right? The ones that believed in you to sell and list their properties, and the ones that have entrusted you to help buy and negotiate property. You could be grateful for so many things, right? Look around and think about it. What are you really grateful for? And it can be super simple. And, you know, thank God I have a roof over my head. I mean, or whatever it might be. Thank God I have, you know, a year of money in the bank. Thank God, right? So whatever it looks like to you guys, it can be very different for everyone, but whatever you have, you got to take stock in that and then believe in that and be grateful for it. Because what happens is that you start reprogramming your mind in the first 5 minutes of every day or in the evening every night, and you're programming your mind to prime it so that actually when you dream in your subconscious mind, your brain, what it does, if you ever wondered about dreams, what your brain is doing during those dreams, it's taking all of the information, all the data points, all the challenges, issues, struggles, etc. that you have, and it's taking those things and it's trying to solve the problem. It's like a, think about it almost like a Rubik's Cube. Your brain is just kind of going over time. Your subconscious mind is trying to identify what is, you know, what are your issues and how do they solve for it? How does your brain solve for it? Again, back to the protection thing, it's trying to fix what's wrong. So if you prime it in the night before you go to sleep, even for 5 minutes before you go to bed, as you hit your head hits the pillow and you want to do your gratitude and then act as if and think about what exactly that means. So act as if, let's move into that final piece. So with the act as if, the idea here is that you would go into the future. That could be tomorrow. That could be if you have a big listing appointment. It could be this quarter. It could be this month. It could be at the end of the year. But you're going to go into the future of something very big that you want to achieve. And you're going to act, believe, and behave as if you already have achieved it. Now, what happens to your physiology? And I'll ask you, I mean, if you guys want to participate now, some of you guys that are driving a car right now, absolutely do not do this right now. But I want you to write this down for later because I want you, this is a really useful exercise. If you were to close your eyes and you were to have, let's say, let's just make it, we'll keep it on business plan to make it timely for this time of year. But let's say in 2020, you say, hey, I want to move from 50 transactions to 100, hypothetically. If you close your eyes right now and you think about this 12 months from now, next December, and you have achieved your goal, you did actually accomplish 100 transactions. How do you feel? Pretty good. Probably a big smile on your face if you kind of close your eyes and imagine it. Where are you at? Are you at the bank? Are you bringing in a big check for the bank manager? Do they smile at you more because you're bringing in more money and they're now seeing how successful you actually are? Are you on your brokerage account online, seeing how much that money has stacked up? Are you looking at your credit card bills all paid off? Are you looking at college accounts that maybe are funded? How do you feel health-wise? So think about it. If we don't feel good and we're always operating out of lack, what does that do to our physical body? It wears us down. But when we feel on top of the world, and we're on top of our game, how do you look? How do you feel? How do you act? How do you move? How do you walk? How do you smile? How do you interact with people? It changes. Your energy changes. So this is really about an energy shift that's based on mindset and based on the thinking. It's not just the behavior. The thinking leads to the results. So always go back to the thinking part. But if you're acting as if, it is one of the greatest gifts that anyone on the planet, I think, could share with you. And I'm glad it was shared with me many years ago. But it is an amazingly powerful tool. So guys, with that, I think we've got time for some Q&A here, and I want to open that up. I'm going to try to take a look at where the if there's any questions. I don't think you guys can mute yourself or unmute yourself, but let me see if we can get some questions here in the chat box. Okay. All righty. Everybody's saying hello. That's awesome. All right. Okay, so we have a question here. Can you give us an example of a time you've reprogrammed your own subconscious mind so that it can help you achieve a goal of yours? Yeah, okay. So one of the times was, and I do it constantly, like kind of frequently, guys, right? But one of the times that I reprogrammed my subconscious mind is I was given an opportunity to do something super big, really, really big. and way bigger than I've ever done anything like that before. And in this case, it was building one of the national companies. And the first thing that was like, the first thing that happened is what? I've never built a national company before. I don't know how to build a national company. Where do I even begin? How do I start? My first inclination was to decline the opportunity. Really crazy, right? Like so afraid of failure. Well, geez, if I leave my comfortable position and I go and take this basically jumping off of a cliff, potentially without a parachute, am I out of my mind? And so what I did was I shared that with some loved ones and I was honest with them and I told them, I'm afraid of this. So as I started, you know, talking with the people and they said, you know, no, that's not true. Well, let's talk about what that means. So I had some very good trusted advisors and some good loved ones. My wife was one of the people. Some mentors of mine were people as well. A few conversations to make this decision. So what I started to do is exactly, because I read a lot of what I'm talking about with you guys right here, that was one of the turning points for me to where I went from being sort of I was successful, I guess, right? Like it depends on how you define it and what you're, but it was to people around me, I was successful, but I didn't feel successful. So what I started doing is what am I really built for? What do I have the courage to do? If I actually took this job and was able to accomplish this, what would that look like? And I started envisioning and imagining success. And I did that. And this, by the way, interestingly, guys, this was 2006. And this was during this time right now. The last 2 weeks before Christmas is when the job opportunity came. And I remembered freaking out because I was the regional vice president of a big brand. And I was like in a warm bath, like, everybody knew me. Everybody liked me. I was kind of like, I don't know, pretty well liked. And I liked feeling that way. And I felt like I had a real handle on what I was doing and that I was doing some good things in the company. I helped a lot of people. I got a lot of accolades for it. But I just knew that there was so much more I could do, but I was afraid to do it. And that's the truth. So then I said, well, okay, well, let me see if I look at this again and act as if I already have done this. And then started praying about it at night. Now, again, if you're not a Christian person, that's fine. I mean, whether that's Mother Earth, you're agnostic, don't believe in anything, but whatever it is that, wherever your go-to is, you know, wherever that is for you in your heart, in your spirit. But I went and said, hey, I'm praying about this. And you know, can I do this? Will you equip me, et cetera? And I started asking these questions and the answers were, yes, you can do it and you can do it. But here's the thing, you're going to have to believe it and then you're going to have to take action on it. And the bigger the belief, the bigger the action, the bigger the result. So I had to believe this from my nose to my toes and I quit a job that was very high paying and went into a job that wasn't as high paying at first, ended up being 5 times more money down the road, but it was that risk reward thing. So I immediately began to think about it as if I already have achieved it. And I reprogrammed on a daily, many times a day, monthly, and I would, not monthly, daily and weekly basis over the next couple of weeks. And then finally accepted the position, but I waited till January 1 or 2, I think it was, before I said yes. But that was that reprogramming. I had to believe it. I had to write it out. I can do this. I will recruit this many people. I will open this many markets. I will, I will, I will. Then I changed the I will to I have. I have already achieved this. I have already achieved Wall Street goals. I have already done this. Instead of looking at, well, who am I and what do I know about this or how can I do this? I started moving forward in my mind, believing that I've already accomplished it. And then I took something from a whiteboard. I mean, zero agents, guys, no license to even do business in other states. and opened up 28 markets, hired 5,000 people in 5 years, doing 23,000 transactions a year. That's where that started. And that was me sitting down going, I don't know how to do this, changing that from what I just shared with you. I hope that helps answer the question. And please, if there's any other questions, type them. And let's see. Doesn't look like we've got some people that are saying good morning. But yeah, not any more questions. So guys, I'll give you, opportunity to ask anything else that you want to about this, the psychology of success. I'm going to close with one story as I give you guys the opportunity to type in a question. But one of the stories is one of my good friends is a guy by the name of Mike Hartman. He is now retired, but he played in the National Hockey League, the NHL, for 17 years and won a Stanley Cup with the Rangers. And what's interesting about this is that he is Jewish. So he makes a little joke about it. He's in the Jewish Sports Hall of Fame because there's only 77 Jewish people that have ever played professional sports, at least according to what he has shared with me. But he was told his entire life he was too slow, stick handling wasn't good, literally he was cut from every kind of peewee league, didn't make traveling all-stars, didn't make all-stars, just every single way he was kind of undercut his entire life as a child. And they just kept saying, you can't do it. Here's what he did. He said, I had a dream that I would play in the NHL one game, just one. If I just play one game in the NHL and I never play hockey again as long as I live, I have achieved my goal. I've achieved my dream. So not only, guys, did he achieve his goal and achieve his dream, he played for 17 years and won a cup with the Rangers in 93. I mean, that is unbelievable. For a guy that couldn't make a high school team, a guy that, wasn't invited to play in a college team, was cut from every kind of team that you could imagine, and was told his entire life he was too slow and not good enough. He had a fixed dream. He acted as if, he behaved as if, and he acted. And how did it end up? He became a defenseman with the Rangers and won a cup. So we could talk about many different things. Warren Buffett wasn't invited to Harvard Business School. Why was that? He's the second richest man on the planet. But he wasn't good enough for Harvard, right? So there's going to be people and situations that are telling you all the time that you're not good enough or why it's not going to work out. But what I want to share with you is get it fixed in your mind what your goal really is. Get clarity. Believe in yourself. Write out your gratitudes. Act as if. Behave as if. Then track your, and then take massive action. Track your results, and then change and tweak what you need to until you get the desired result. And I'm going to end with that, guys. That is the ultimate success formula. But that is, belief for sure. The NLP, believing that it's already been done. Acting as if it's been done, taking those huge actions, getting clarity about your goal, taking the big actions, then tracking the result, and then tweaking your approach until you get the desired result. And with that, there doesn't look like there's any other questions. And I'm going to bid you guys a Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays to you and your loved ones. Thanks for being on the call.